Well, good morning. Happy New Year. If I've never met you, my name is Kevin Crawford. I'm one of the pastors here, and today is a unique Sunday. It's Vision Sunday, kind of talking about where we've been as a church and where we're going. And like Trent said, we are going to be looking at a bunch of different passages. Usually on a Sunday morning, we kind of unpack one passage. So if you want to follow this morning, you probably can't, as far as of trying to flip through your Bible. We usually look at our Bible, so when you leave today, you're going to get a handout with all the notes. Not everything I said, but the bulk, the main point. So I would encourage you this morning just to listen. Absorb what God is saying to us. Don't be so concerned about taking notes down or flipping through your Bible. Listen to the scriptures, I'll say. All the scripture I refer to will be on the handout. I'm not telling you to close your Bible, so don't get all weird out. But just more absorb this morning. So let me pray for us before we hear what God would have for us this morning. Lord, you are God and we're not. The church is your bride that you're making radiant and beautiful. The church is your people called out for your purposes and your sake. Lord, you want to be the blazing center of your people. So we pray that we would wrestle through that and move towards that. You came to this world to show and share the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we've received that, many in this room, and may we continue to show that. Lord, would you do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine? May we be your church around you and you alone. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you've ever been around young kids, how many of you have ever had young kids ask why? Why? Why is the grass green? Why is the sky blue? Why? It's a question they kind of dig deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's inquisitive. As a parent, it becomes very annoying, but if I step back, it's actually like, no, I want my children to be very inquisitive, to understand the why behind certain things. I remember as a kid, my dad worked for General Electric, and he worked in wiring devices for a while, and he came in to do a demonstration, you know, in third grade of like electricity and all that, and then it got to asking questions, and I raised my hand. And I had a question of why something. And I asked my dad, why at the end of an extension cord, the two plugs that come out, why are there holes in the metal? Why, Dad? You're the expert. Why are there holes in the ends of a plug? I still don't know to this day. I really don't know. I was the kid who asked the dad the question in the class, why? And as adults, we ask the why question. Most recently, just in the past few days, somebody in Japan bought a tuna fish to eat for $3.1 million. To eat. I asked, why? I like tuna. I like ahi tuna. But man, $3.1 million to eat a tuna? I'm eating that really, really slow. Why would you buy that? Another question is, what? What are we doing? What are we about? What are we doing here? On this earth, what are we doing at this place? We are all curious of the why and the what all the time. And there's a question of, are we there yet? How many of you have been on a road trip with your kids or you were a kid? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I love the phrase, almost there, we're getting closer. These questions are curious of all of us all the time. And when it comes to what we do as a church and why we exist, we ask the questions, why are we here? What is the church about? And have we arrived as a church? Why do we do certain things? Why do we exist as a church? What are we doing here? What is the church doing in the world today? Its purpose, and are we there yet? And so if you're visiting this morning and you're like, and you're a guest here, we're so glad you're here. We hope that you understand what we want to be about and our aspirations of what we want to continue to move towards. And if you're part of Trinity Family, I want to help us understand why we do exist, what we're doing, and to know that we're not there yet, and we will never be there yet. We are constantly on a journey of moving towards Him, towards one another, and towards the world around us. And we will never arrive as a church at being perfect or arrive at doing anything right and perfect. And that might be exhausting for some of you. Like when I'm on a road trip, I'm going. Like, we just took a trip to Michigan. We're stopping for gas, and you have as much time as it takes to fill the tank to go to the bathroom, boys, and to get back in the car. Because we're on a mission. I want to get there. For me, the journey at Christmas was not the journey. It was the destination. But for us as a church, there is a destination of great hope. But as we live on mission, it's about journeying together as a family of God. So what are we about? That's what we have to be about. My hope as your pastor is that we would be one Trinity, that we would be one family, and that we can be united about the right thing. You see, we can be united around wrong things, we can be united about good things, or we can be united around the right thing. There can be things that have drawn you to Trinity as part of the family that might not always be here. And if that goes away, then you might not have an identity here. Maybe you put a good thing as the ultimate thing, but we misplaced it there. So what are we about? What is going to draw all of us together? What is going to draw 5-6 generations together? What is going to draw people from every socioeconomic class together? What is going to draw male and female together? What is going to draw all of humanity together? Amen. It is going to be about Jesus here. Always and only, it's going to draw us to Jesus. We want to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If we put our eyes on anything else, we will steer off course. When I cut my grass, I love straight lines. I'm a little anal, we'll say about that. But I love it because I see accomplishment. And I learned from a farmer long ago, the best way to plow a straight line is to focus on one object out and keep your eye on that as you go forward. Otherwise, it will begin to go off and I will be very upset about my grass when I look at it. And I think the same is true with Jesus and his church. He wants us to fix our eyes on him. All of us, no matter what our ethnicity is, no matter our social and economic background, no matter our age, no matter our different demographics, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're drawn into him as the center set of everything. So what are we about? Always, we're going to focus on Jesus. But we're also going to focus on his church too. The church. The church is the people of God. The church is not a building. The church is not centered around a person or a program. It is the people of God. Do you know the church can exist without a building? And you know that we don't go to church, the church gathers. We have to get the right words to have the right behavior, to have the right strategy. The staff don't put on a church service, the church gathers. If we have the mindset that the staff put on a service, then I'm your employee and I do things for you. Instead of we are the church, we're the body of Christ and we gather together. I'm correcting my boys all the time. Are we going to church? Nope, the church is gathering. That's just a building. But language creates culture. And if we have the right language, we have the right culture to move forward. And the church is the bride of Christ. I was golfing one time with some guys, and they said, Kevin, I really love hanging out with you. I really enjoy you, all the things that you do. You're an awesome dude. And I'm like, yeah, I'm really cool, aren't I? But then they said, you know what? I don't like your wife. Your wife isn't perfect. She's a little too tall. She's a little too quiet. I like you, but I don't like your wife. How do you think that made me feel? Is that a good thing on the golf course that day? That's not a true story. It illustrates this, though. Some of us love Jesus, but when we say we hate his bride, the church. And you cannot say you love Jesus without loving his bride, because he's never given up on his bride, his people. So we will always be about Jesus. We will always be about his people, called out to be on mission. So where does that leave us? Let me ask you, church family. Is Jesus and his mission what draws us together and draws you to be part of the Trinity family? If not, you must confess and repent of anything else that you've placed at the center of gathering as the church family. If we are not drawn together by Jesus and his purposes, and we've placed something else at the blazing center of our church, then we must confess that and turn from that and go back to our first love of Jesus as the blazing center. Because even a good thing will divide our church if it's not Jesus and his purpose of mission to the world. And I would say some of us in this room and some of us through seasons of church, we need to confess some things and turn from those things and make Jesus the blazing center and his heart and his mission for why we exist. Because Trinity has a great history. So where I want to go for the rest of the time is I want to look back just for a little bit. But back at the history of Trinity and God's great provision and his faithfulness and his love and what he's done in the past and the roots of why this church ever existed and why it started. And let's look forward to where we're going as a church. Are we excited for this family? So our family has great roots. And I was given this book when I candidated and was moving here. Some great people of our church put together this history of our church and why we exist and what's gone on over the history of the time, that this church started with roots in the 1940s. Raise your hand if you were in the 1940s, lived during the 1940s. Thank you for being here. That is incredible. That is awesome. And you know what the first line of this book says? It says this. Over half a century ago, the Lord spoke to the heart of a widow, Miss Sadie Sneller. And this is what the Lord said to her. Go and reach the young people south of the city. Go and reach people of the next generation that don't know Jesus. The impetus, the pulse of this church, the family of God, started in the heart of a widow who heard the voice of God, compelled by what Scripture commanded to go and tell the good news of Jesus to children of the next generation that didn't know Jesus. Is that an awesome foundation to start with? She didn't go and say, let's just gather a bunch of Christians to do what we want to do. Let's go on mission. Let's go. It reminisces the words of maybe Jesus. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that we see from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, God's faithfulness. And I've heard incredible stories of people who have loved their neighbor sacrificially and joyfully. And stories of families who have been drawn together here as part of Trinity when there used to be Sunday night services and then having meals together and inviting new people into their home and having meals together to encourage and edify and draw people in. There's an incredible foundation of the teaching of the Bible here and knowledge of who God is and holding firm to orthodoxy, meaning the truth of who Jesus is. There's incredible foundation for what God has done, God's faithfulness here in providing resources for the first building, the second phase, and moving to this place, even though the church is in the building. God has been faithful. God has shown his love and compassion through his people. The many children have been adopted because of the adoption ministry. We've seen Restored started that is reaching out into the community. We just helped and are starting to church plant in the South St. Paul area to see more people come to Jesus. And we've sent many people on mission, people who have been on staff or regular attenders to be missionaries, even though we are all missionaries. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. God has been faithful. The principles of holding firm to Scripture, being about prayer, singing praises to him, have been principles of the Scripture that have guided this church for over 3 or 4 decades. That he is good, and he has endured. And many of you have endured with perseverance. And I'm going to ask some people to do some things right now. And I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. They do this at weddings, so we're going to do it here. If you've been here for over 30 or 40 years, stand if you can. Stay standing. If you've been here 20 years as part of the community, please stand. Thank you. If you've been here over a decade or more, or less, something like that. If you've been here for 5 years, if you've been here for 5 minutes, thank you for those who have been here for decades. Yes. You may be seated. We are one family who have a rich history of saints that have gone before us and sacrificed, with great principles of being dedicated to prayer, dedicated to scripture, dedicated to community, of loving one another, growing as disciples, and being sent out to reach those who are far from God. So where do we, which is grounded, what? On the great commandment, right? Love God and love your neighbor. It's rooted in the Great Commission, therefore to go and make disciples of all nations. There's nothing new under the sun, but we need to be reminded and refocused with our purpose of fixing our eyes on Jesus and his mission for us as a church. Because good things can take the center, but the ultimate thing needs to be at the center. And we need to be reminded of that. The Apostle Paul did that over and over. That was his role, was to remind the people of what is of first importance to the church. So where does that take us? Like I said, everything I'm about to share is going to be, almost everything, the principles, will be in the handout. But for years, our church has had a desire to continually connect to Christ, continually to move towards him. And so the first thing I want to talk about, what we are going to, now that dried out when I opened it earlier, and this one probably did too. No, there we go. That we want to be about continually moving up of becoming disciples. Some of these phrases should be up on the screen. We want to move up, disciples conforming to the image of Christ. And we have done that well for decades, but we never arrive at that, right? We are always, God is always asking us to grow more in that area, conforming to the image of Christ. And this is, Jesus calls us to be his disciples, to become more like him. Jesus in Mark chapter 1 says, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you become like me. And a disciple is becoming more and more like Jesus. It's not about information, it's about transformation into the image and likeness of Christ. It's what Jesus talked about at the beginning of his ministry, come follow me. And it's what he said at the end of his ministry, go and make disciples. So it's always been about upward movement, being transformed into his likeness. That's why Jesus said this, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So a disciple, as we conform to the image of Christ, we are being trained to be more like Jesus. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas. We're going to celebrate his death and his resurrection at Good Friday and Easter. But his life that he lived was the exemplary life filled by the Spirit. And as disciples, we want to continue to listen to him. And as we listen to him, we will fall in love with him. And as we fall in love with him, we'll want to live for him as Lord of everything. That is our posture as a disciple. And disciples as Jesus, as they conform to his image, he ultimately died. And Jesus, we'll see next week as we continue in Mark, that we must self-deny, that we must die to self as disciples, to be Spirit-empowered, to trust him as sons and daughters, and to be sent on mission. And that's our pursuits as a disciple, as we form to scripture, our people of prayer. That's why Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You don't become a disciple by obedience, you are a disciple as you obey. Jesus said also, if anyone would come after me, you want to be his disciple, you want to come after him, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A disciple is growing more and more into the image of Christ, conforming to who he is. And we as a church family want to continue to grow as disciples of Jesus. Because that's what it means to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. You see, we are disciples who continually move upward to conform to the image of Christ. That's why the book of Hebrews says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Let's fix our eyes on him. What you fix your eyes on, you become. How many of you, when you woke, used to wake up to a radio, that song that played, how many of you couldn't get it out of your head? Yes, over and over. It's what you fix your mind on first thing. It's what you fix your eyes on that you are directed towards. Would we fix our eyes on Jesus to become more and more like him as disciples? What if we individually and corporately fixed our eyes on Jesus and we pursued moving upward towards him to become more and more like him, to live like him as we lean in to love him and listen to him and submit everything to his lordship, everything, all areas of our life? That is the journey that we are continually on, friends, as disciples of Jesus. But not only are we moving towards becoming more like Jesus and moving upward, we are moving in. And just like up, meaning family of God, it is family connected in community. And we never arrive at that. How many of you are part of a family? How many have a perfect family? No one does. The first family had brothers that killed each other. That's a true story. It's in the Bible. And we're always wrestling and struggling to connect as one, as a family, and we never arrive as connecting a family. We're always going to be continually growing together as a family. And what is involved in a family? Has fun people? It has weird people. It has people who like the same thing we like and people who dislike the things that we like. It has people that are fun-filled and people that are non-fun-filled. It has people that are life-giving and it has people who are life-sucking leeches. It has the fun uncle who gives you candy everywhere, and it has the crazy uncle who sends you a gun in the mail with ammunition. True story for me. Family has diversity, but we move towards one another. You see, in the scripture, it says we were adopted, Ephesians chapter 1. We were adopted into his family, that he is father, and that we are now his sons and daughters. All the rights and privileges of having him as father and the inheritance in that, and that we are adopted into a family without a choice of who your brothers and sisters are. Some in this room have adopted kids or fostered, and we're family now. Not a choice. And it's the same as true as we're adopted into the family of God without choice. It's like in the book of Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, it was made up of Jews and Gentiles, people of different ethnicities and backgrounds and who didn't like each other. And we read in Ephesians that it was a miracle, that it is Christ Jesus and his blood that broke down the hostility between all these tribes and nations and preferences to make an all new humanity. And Jesus prayed for us in John 17 that we would be one as he is one, so the world might know that he sent his son into the world. John 13 says that we would love one another so the world would know that we are his disciples. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, would you maintain the peace and unity in the family of God? Paul says this in the book of Ephesus, I urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's what family needs, right? To get along, we need the Spirit to cause us to be humble and gentle and patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. It's the oneness of God that draws us together. It's a miracle that we are family. But family doesn't live by sitting in rows facing. Family lives by doing life together, having meals together, sharing life, sharing joys, sharing struggles, speaking truth and the gospel into one another's lives on a 24/7 basis, because we are the family of God. We are the church. We don't go to church. So we are family 24/7 as the family of God. And so we function, and we should function in that way. We are family. The church, the greatest metaphor all throughout the scripture, is that we are family gathered around Christ. Yes, we have membership at Trinity, but truly, biblically, it is family partnership. That we all have a place to play in the family of God. Membership implies privilege. Partnerships implies I have a part in the family of God. We are family. And so when we moved here, some of you guys know that, I don't try to bring that up, but all four boys had to come. It wasn't an option. This is where we were going. And there wasn't an ejection seat out of our family for their convenience and for their comfortability. And so it is with the family of God. We are stuck together. Yes, there's other places churches gather. But let me ask you this in your own family. Is your family stronger and more radiant and more pure as it's wrestled through difficult circumstances or by avoiding difficult circumstances? You know the answer. By wrestling together as a family, you're more radiant and pure on the other side. But we live in a culture that if the going gets tough or we don't like something, we just hop families, meaning go to another church building. But we're family. And we work through things. And it's the beauty of Christ that he wants to radiate through us. What's good for you is not always the phrase that needs to be at the top of your mind. What is good for the bride of Christ is what needs to be at the top of our mind. They might be parallel, but many times they're not. We're family. And we as a church want to structure ourselves that we would do life more together. I've seen more people come to Christ not because of the intellectual apologetics of the next generation, but the undeniable apologetics of people loving one another and caring for one another sacrificially. This next generation that is coming is not about intellectual giving information. They're like, show me what the church is to be, and then maybe I'll believe. So we are continually move upward as Christ. We're continually moving towards one another, doing life together. Living as a family isn't optional. If you call Trinity your home and you sit here on a Sunday morning, then you escape by the side doors and you're not part of any other connection to Trinity, that's not the way family functions. We love you and we want you to be part of here, but God has so much more for you and more for us as a church family. Imagine what it would be like to be known and to know others, to love and to be cared for. It's happened for years here, and let's continue to have that more and more. Let's function as a family. Now we're moving in that direction as we move upward towards Christ, becoming disciples of him. We move inward as family, but we are moving out. And just like the other ones, we never arrive at. We can always be growing and moving out. The purpose of the church is to move out. Jesus came into this world. He was sent into this world by the Father. He left all the comfort and convenience of the heavenly realm, of the Father and the Holy Spirit, of all of eternity. He left that comfort and convenience and reality of the heavenly realms to come into this world. He left all that. Why? On a mission trip. He moved into the neighborhood, John says. And he was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. The sick, the dying, the sinners. He was accused of being a drunken and a sinner. He was accused because he went to people and touched people and engaged people that were far from the religious establishment. And so that's what Jesus got accused of. That's why Jesus came. In the reality, we were all in that place. Maybe you look good on the outside, but inside, you were like a dark M&M like we talked about before. And some of you are nutty M&Ms. But we are all far from God, and Jesus came. He moved towards us. And as Jesus did that, so he asked us to do it. It's what Jesus did. He called people together at the very beginning. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And then as we've walked through Mark, he trained the disciples to do that, right? He sent them out two by two on a mission trip. They failed. He evaluated. And at the end of 3 years of training, he says, you're going to turn the world upside down by going to all the nations to make disciples by a few fishermen. Uneducated, unentertaining, but they'd been with Jesus and sent on a mission. And Jesus says this, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. We are sent out. And we live in a culture that more and more people will not come to a church building to hear about Jesus. And God never intended the church to be about merely inviting people to a church gathering, but he's been about his church scattering and having unity of family and the demonstration of love and compassion to the world around us as we are sent into the world in the everyday stuff of life, together as families and individually as missionaries. We are all missionaries. We have a missionary budget, but our entire budget as a church is a missions budget. Do you understand that? Our entire budget is a missions budget. We don't have missions and then this and that. Our church exists as a mission. And we send people other places, but we are all a mission. This is a mission agency. I was sent as a missionary, as a pastor, to Lakeville to equip and empower all of us to live as missionaries, to be sent. I was not sent here to pet sheep and to cuddle sheep. I care for the sheep, but what I was called here to do and what we are all called to do is to be sent as everyday missionaries in the everyday stuff of life. Therefore, go and make disciples. I don't know if we are a disciple unless we are going and making disciples. It's a question we all need to ponder. If you're a Christ follower, you call yourself a disciple. Are you a disciple if you're not making disciples? Not part of a church that's making disciples, you as an individual making disciples. And part of a church family that is making disciples. That's a question we all need to wrestle with. We are sent out as everyday missionaries. Listen to Paul's words. This is Eugene Peterson in talking to the church at Corinth and says this. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant of any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. I've become a servant. I've laid my life down, Paul says, to the religious, to the non-religious, to the meticulous moralist, the loose-living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempt to lead those I met into a God-saving life. I did all this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. That's Paul's letter to the Corinthians out of 1 Corinthians 9. Between all things to all people, he didn't want to miss out. May we be a people who don't miss out on God's purpose to be sent missionaries into the everyday stuff of life. That's our call. That's our commission to Jesus. We are sent ones who continually move outward to connect to the culture around us. And we have to see that there is a complete culture shift around us. Friends, there are people that will come to this building to hear about Jesus at times. And maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you're a result of that. The reality is there is a significant high percentage of people who will never enter in this building, who are far from God, whose lives are destined to hell and broken and fractured. And we're not about getting into a building. We're about getting Jesus to them and getting them to Jesus. And we are sent for that purpose. Do you see your friends, your family, and your neighbors? And does your heart break in compassion? The goal is not to get them to this building. The goal is to get them to Jesus. And as you disciple them, maybe they'll come to this building. But a pastor is telling you, the goal is not to get them to the building. Maybe you thought, heard pastors say for years, just bring your friends. We want you to invite people. But if I tell you, the only way people are going to hear about Jesus is to bring them here, then I've sold the kingdom short and I've sold you short to what God's called us all to. And you should fire me for that if I ever do that. If the only way to reach this culture is to invite them into this place. Because my role is to equip and empower you for your God-given purpose in your places. The role of the staff is to equip and empower you to go the places that none of us can go because God sent you into those places. Imagine if we all saw ourselves as everyday missionaries and were intentional like Jesus, who came to earth and moved out of his comfort and his convenience and moved towards others. You're like, this is nothing new. This is just what Jesus talked about. I thought this was Vision Sunday. I thought we were gonna hand out lollipops and balloons for people to come to Jesus. I want to remind us of who Jesus is. I want to remind us of Jesus' purpose for our lives and the main principles that are found in Scripture of how we are to function. I want to briefly talk about, just for a moment, these are three circles that overlap. Many times as a church, we can think, well, we're going to do discipleship here in this classroom, and we're going to live as family during the fellowship time in the basement of the church building. Hopefully there's no mold in the basement anymore. It's a joke, just, you know. And then we're going to do evangelistic events. Those aren't wrong, but God never intended us to silo the way we live apart from the other ways. For example, if we are to be inward, meaning we're to live as a family, these were supposed to be overlapping. Come on. There we go. The inward family aspect and the outward aspect there is incredibly important to Jesus. Because Jesus, like I said earlier, Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one as he is one, so the world might know that he sent his son into this world. That we would be one as family, functioning as a family, the world would see that. John 13, he prayed that we would love one another. The love we have for one another's family, the world will know we're his disciples. It is an outward movement. Does that make sense, friends? That's why we must live in family, maybe in smaller groups, living and loving one another and caring for one another, inviting non-Christians, those who are far from God, into that to journey with us so they might see the genuineness and messiness of loving one another. Then, we are to go out and up. We are disciples who are sent out. That's the everyday outness. We're growing in Christ. We're maturing in Christ. As we grow upward, we become more radiant to reach people. And then as we grow as a family, Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, that we grow in maturity and love. As disciples individually, we grow up as the unity of the church in Christ. So these overlapping areas are absolutely important. And some of us, we need to examine in our own life, what area of our life, as a disciple growing upward, as a family moving towards others in the family of God, or moving outward as sent missionaries, what area could I be working on? Then as a church family, which areas do we need to work on and continue to main focus on? That all these need to be functioning together for us to be healthy. The big idea from today is this. May we journey towards becoming a family of disciples of Jesus, sent to show and share his love to all people in the everyday rhythms of life. Who wants to get around that? Do you want to be about that, church family? We can be excited about it. We can get up and clap. I'm not telling you to do that. But this is what we're going to be about. We're going to be about a family, being family. This is like the family reunion, though, right? Sunday morning. Like, I go to my family reunion, I'm like, who is that again? Like, there was a time in high school, I lived in Ohio, and I was playing soccer, and I was the goalie, and I looked down, and I said, I think that's like my third cousin. And it was, playing goalie at the other end. So on Sunday morning, we are a family reunion here, but we might need to structure ourselves to function as family units better. You can't know everybody in a church that over 1,000 people call home. So we need to continue to grow as family and disciples that make disciples, becoming conformed in the image of Jesus. We focus on him, we become more like him. And it's not information-driven, it's transformation-driven to become more like Jesus. And then we are sent. We're sent as a family together, and we're sent as individuals in the everyday rhythms of life. I mean, where you work, where you play, where you live, where you walk your dog, or your cat, if you walk your cat. The everyday rhythm of stuff, God has sent you to be everyday missionaries in all those places. And what do? We show the love of Jesus, and we share the love of Jesus. That's the purpose of the church, that we would grow as disciples, that we would grow as family, and that we would be sent as family and individuals in the everyday stuff of life. Friends, we have a great foundation. In the 1940s, a woman reading scripture heard the voice of God say, go and reach the next generation of young people. Wouldn't she want us to live out that legacy? Because that legacy is the legacy of her Savior, Jesus, who said, go and make disciples. Continue to reach all people, laying our lives out to become all things to all people, as Paul said. So let me conclude with this, some challenge for all these areas. First, may we as a church take action in prayerfully pursuing one another as one united family. May we take that action, prayerfully moving towards one another as a united family. You're like, where do I start? Instead of waiting for somebody to ask you to a meal, maybe invite somebody to a meal at your own house. Two, may we as a church family take action in passionately pursuing Jesus as his disciples, focusing on him, saying, how do I listen to Jesus? How do I love Jesus? How do I live for Jesus? How do I deny myself, be spirit-empowered, sent on mission as a disciple, and make a disciples that make disciples? Third, would we purposely pursue others as we are sent to make disciples of Jesus? That we would be purposefully, intentionally moving towards people that don't know Jesus. It takes intentionality. It just doesn't happen. And lastly, that has nothing to do with the three, but I think we need as a church, that we would press on with faith and courage in the midst of adversity and advancement of his kingdom. May we as a church press on with faith and courage in the midst of adversity and advancement of his kingdom. May we journey together to become a family of disciples sent to show and share the love of Jesus to all people and becoming all things to all people in the everyday rhythms of life. You see, these guiding principles for Scripture can be lived out anywhere in the world. It's not dependent upon any person, any place, any program, any building. Because God intended the kingdom to advance without a need for any of those. And may we always be about what Jesus, who Jesus is, and his mission for our church. I want to just sit and allow that to sink over you as the worship team comes to lead us. Part of worship is singing songs of exaltation, but sometimes it's allowing to be still and to allow the scripture to sink in his words. So I want to pray, and then Reese will lead us in song, but I want you to have some moments of quietness. Do you see where God is speaking to us corporately and individually? Lord, you are good. You came to be one of us, to show us life and to give us life. Holy Spirit, speak to us now as a church family. Guide us, direct us, cause us to be absolutely dependent upon you every hour and every day. Help us to be still and to know that you are God for these few moments before we close in singing your praises. Amen.